Tonight, I want to start another section, if you will. We're talking about discipleship, and we're talking about my goal here, and the plan is to get the direct teaching of God's Word across the pulpit and into your ears and into your soul and into your spirit, so that you can take what you learn and what you know and what you receive from the Lord, not from me, but from the Lord. Amen. That you can take it outside of these doors and these walls and begin to proclaim the truth of God's Scripture, which is what the disciples did and what you and I as disciples are called to do on a daily basis. How many of you know that's true? It's not just Sundays and Wednesdays. It's a daily thing. We got to walk with Him in a daily way. And so we've been talking about faith. We've been talking about all these different kinds of things. And tonight I want to talk about the very unpopular subject of sin. Yeah. Preach it. Well, let me just break it down for you. How about this? Has anybody ever felt like they were on a different level than somebody else maybe in the church? I mean, you know, pastors never do anything wrong, and the worship leaders, they don't ever do anything wrong, and, you know, but us laity that sit in the pews, that sit in the chair, you know, we're a little lower. Has anybody ever felt like that? Honestly? I certainly have. Let me just clear that all up for you tonight. Can I do that? Can I just get everybody on the same level? You don't think I can do it, do you? I can. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. This is going to clear it up for you. You're going to come to find out, you're going to come to the realization, the reality, based not on what some preacher said on TV or whatever else, you're going to come to the understanding, the realization that we're all on level ground. See, the ground was level at the foot of the cross. The same blood that was shed that we just sang about, draw me near to your precious bleeding side. See, at the foot of the cross, the ground's level. There's no one greater. The rich people, they didn't have a better shot at being saved than the poor people. Hello. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 says very plainly, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Listen, if there's no other verse in Scripture, that verse in Scripture levels the playing field. All have sinned. Paul made it clear in his letters that there is no difference between the Jews and the Gentiles when it comes to final judgment, because everybody has sinned. How many of you have ever witnessed to somebody, tried to lead somebody to the Lord? Anybody in the house tried to do that ever? Ever? Anybody? Have you ever talked to somebody and they just said, well, listen, I'm really not that bad of a person. I'm going to be all right. Has anybody ever said that to you? Yeah. How sad is that? It's heartbreaking. Because this verse right here disqualifies them just like that. Because the only way for anybody to make heaven their home is to be without sin. How many of you in this room have sin? Uh-huh. So what qualifies us? What qualifies us is the blood of Jesus has qualified us. Because when I was in my sin, the Bible said I was dead. But when I give my life to Jesus, I was born again, raised in newness of life. How many of you know that's true? And so Paul makes it clear that there's no difference between Jews and Gentiles, so no one can share in the glory of God by virtue of their sinlessness. Because they're nobody sinless except the sinless Son of God, who gave His life a ransom. When's a ransom, Ralph? When does a ransom come into play?
Yourself.
Yeah. When somebody's a hostage.
Hostage, yeah.
Yeah. You and I were held hostage by our flesh. We were born into that nature. We all have a sin nature. So if the law measures the distance between God and His creatures, then human righteousness is our attempt to bridge the difference on our own merit. Let me just help you right here, because your own merit will get you straight to hell. Well, that sounds awfully mean, Pastor. I can't help it. I didn't write it. All I can do is speak the truth to you. Because in our own effort, we will every time fall short. Every time we'll fall short. Paul is correct. We all fall short. Without question. Listen, I got news for you. Billy Graham fell short. Right? The Apostle Paul fell short. Peter fell short. Those disciples that walked with Jesus for 3.5 years, He spoke directly into their life for 3.5 years, Ralph. And you know what? They fell short. Peter said, listen, I don't care what happens. I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to betray. I'm never going to walk with you. All the rest of them can. I'm not going to do it. Aren't you one of them? No, not me, man. What are you talking about? I'm sure that I saw you with them. Your very speech gives you away. Not me, man. Wasn't me. Cock-a-doodle-doo. If you know the scripture, you'll know why I said cock-a-doodle-doo. Because the rooster in the distance began to preach the most powerful message that Peter ever heard in his life. And confirmed in that rooster's crow, I failed him, and I got to do something about it. Just like Paul and Peter and everybody else had to do something about it, you and I have to do something about this thing called sin. But what is this glory of God that we do not reach on our own? Well, I'm glad you asked. See, the word glory, from which we derive the word doxology, refers to the wonderful and awe-inspiring but indescribable presence of God Himself. Woo! Let me say that again. The word glory refers to the wonderful and the awe-inspiring. Have you ever just... Sunday, we experienced it Sunday in this place. We experienced the presence of God in this house on Sunday morning. We had 2 altar calls. One of them I didn't even give. They just came. You know why? Because the presence of the Lord draws people. And people were at this altar and they were crying and bawling and weeping and all that stuff. Why? Because there's just, and when you get in that place, you was here and there, and you know, but the presence of God, nobody's in a hurry to leave the presence of God. Because there's just something about the wonderful, indescribable, awe-inspiring presence. Have you ever tried to describe the presence of God? Well, let me tell you what happened in church on Sunday. It was so awesome. Let me just tell you what, you know, you just had to be there. Because we can't put words to how it was. It's just, listen, if you were in church, you blew it. The pastor's preaching wasn't all that good, but man, the presence of God was wow! I got more amens on that than I have in a lot of stuff. See, we tend to think of glory in terms of brightness, and certainly it's more than that, but in its utter wholeness and completeness. We need to think about the fact that there won't be, I mean, when you think about the presence of God Himself in wholeness and completeness, I don't know what you think about, but when I was putting this down, when I was putting these notes together, and I put down it is utter wholeness and completeness. I'm talking about the glory of God, and we think about it in terms of brightness. And the moment I said that, and the moment I put that down on paper, the Spirit of the Lord spoke into my heart, you realize there won't be any shadows in heaven. In fact, there won't even be a sun or moon. The light of Jesus. Jesus is going to put out. And when the light, the all-encompassing wholeness and completeness of the light that is given off by the Son of God, there won't be any shadows. Because it's everywhere. It's coming from everywhere. It's complete. See, sin... Oh, boy, I almost blew Christmas right there. Almost blew Christmas. Sin keeps us from the presence of God. She's going, what in the world are you talking about? I'll tell you later. It has to do with Christmas. It has to do with part of my task. Anyway, never mind, because I can't get out of this without blowing it. Suffice it to say, I'll get back with you. Talking to my wife. I'll get with you. Exactly. Shut the camera off. I so want to say this, and I can't. I am sweating. I'm worked up, man. No. No, I'm not. But I've said a statement, I've made a statement multiple times about God's Word. Okay? And what it will do. And what sin will do in our life. Because, see, sin keeps us from the presence of God. I can't stop it. This book. Sin will keep you from this book. Sin will keep you from this book. The flip side of that, church, is that this book will keep you from sin. This book will, even though sin will do its best to keep us from that, because sin keeps us from the presence of God. Listen, God's presence is represented in that book. What really ought to catch our attention, church, is the fact that our common sinfulness keeps us from reaching the place that we were created to experience. We were created to walk with God. We were created to fellowship with Him. Are you aware of that? Too much of the church, and I don't mean to be mean and nasty and ugly and all that stuff, but for some reason the church has here I go, allowed itself in so many ways to be dumbed down to the point where I can get enough of God and His presence on Sunday morning, I don't even need to go to church on Sunday night. I don't even need to go to church on Wednesday night. I sure don't need to go to women's Bible study on Thursday or men's meeting on Friday night. Because I just get enough. I had such an awesome experience in church on Sunday that it was just so awesome. Well, let me tell you something. That wore off the moment you walked out the door. We need to constantly be in His presence. Draw me nearer, precious Lord. Sunday morning is not, listen, I'm not good enough as a preacher to get enough of God's Word in you to get you through the rest of the week. I'm just not that good. And it's not my responsibility. See, again, what ought to catch our attention is the fact that our common sinfulness keeps us from reaching the very place we were created to experience. Isaiah 53 and verse 6. Isaiah 53 and verse 6 says that all we, we're all included in this. We've all gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Isaiah speaks of the of Israel straying from God, and then he compares them to wandering sheep, yet God would send the shepherd. Isn't that interesting? That he would send a shepherd to bring them back into the fold. And we have the hindsight, church, to see and to know the identity of the promised Messiah who has become the great shepherd and gave his life for your sin and mine. But if we can see all of that, all that Jesus did, and still reject him, our sin's much greater than that of the ancient Israelites who could not see what you and I have seen. They didn't experience, some of them, what we have experienced. John, 1 John 3 and verse 4 says, whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. So since being born of God demands self-purification, then the life of sin or a continual lack of purity demonstrates that one cannot really be God's child. So sin coexists with the new nature derived from the new birth. How many of you know we're supposed to crucify our flesh? We are supposed to deny our flesh. We are supposed to kill our flesh. We are supposed to bring our flesh under submission because we have been what? Born again. Doesn't the Bible say the old things pass away? Behold. It's like it's a news flash. Behold. All things have become new. So we're not to live in the flesh. We're not to satisfy the lusts of our flesh. We are to stand in direct opposition to what our flesh is dictating. And listen, if you don't learn how to control your flesh early on in your life, you are really going to have some problems. Your flesh screams loud. I don't know if you know that. It's demanding. But we have the ability to bring our flesh under control. Sin is lawlessness, and that provides for us a basic definition of sin. The Greek word for sin, you'll see it there in your notes. It means literally missing the mark. So, I was in a conversation a couple of weeks ago about sin with someone, and they were talking about, well, Jesus died for all the sin. And I said, well, you know what? Here's the deal. If I go out and kill somebody, and somebody else just steals a piece of penny bubble gum, well, it's probably not penny bubble gum anymore. It's probably 50 cent bubble gum. I said, which one is worse? And they said, obviously, it's the person that killed somebody. And I said, no. No, that's not true. Sin is sin. Sin is simply missing the mark. Now, is there a higher price to pay in our judicial system? Absolutely, without doubt. But we have to understand, we can't categorize sin. We can't say, well, you know what? You stole a car, and all I did was, you know, what? Who forgot to pray? Oh, that was your sin? Oh, I got you. I was like, I thought I did. Yeah. Didn't read, I did some stupid little trivial thing. But sin, when we realize that sin is missing the mark, that clears things up. If God does not tell His people what they should be like, we would never realize how sinful we are. That's why we have the law. That's why we have God's Word. The law points out what sin is. You can't fulfill the law. You can't live up to the law. We live under grace, and too many preachers have told the church that we're living under grace. You can live all how you want to. All you got to do is give your life to Jesus, and He's got the rest of it covered. That's not true. We have to live according to God's Word. Do we blow it? Absolutely we blow it. What do we do when we blow it? We repent. We do our best to not do that again. We say, God, I know I've got Your Holy Spirit inside of me. Lord, help me to not mess up like that again. And then it's going to take maybe some effort on your part. Because here's the clue. You're not a robot. You're not a puppet. He's not dangling, you on some strings. You have a free will. You can choose to obey or disobey. You and I can see how crooked a line is by putting something next to it that's straight. You ever seen something that looked straight till you put like a level up next to it? I mean, all of a sudden it's like, man. That's exactly what that does. That is the straight line. That is the straight line. What he was talking about was that when they're teaching people about counterfeit money, they don't show them counterfeit money. They show them real money so that when counterfeit money shows up, you can tell the difference. And it's the truth. That's why God's Word is so important. That's why we need to be in God's Word. Listen, I've heard some crazy stuff from TV evangelists. I've heard some crazy stuff. I've heard some really, really good stuff too. So don't get me wrong. That's why I encourage you to bring your Bible to church. So that you know what I'm saying lines up with your Bible. Because the truth is, I could have Fred and Michelle put every what I want on this board, and I could, lead you off down some crazy trail somewhere if you don't have your straight edge. The Greek expression behind lawlessness means opposes the law of God. And when you and I, and when our life is in opposition to God, when we're walking in sin, we are in opposition to what God has called us to be. When we're not walking in obedience to God, we're in opposition to what He says to do. When we're not talking to people about the love of Jesus, about what God's done in your life and mine, we're in opposition to God's Word. Well, He didn't mean me, Pastor. He meant you. You're the pastor. Let me break it down for you in Matthew chapter 28. He said, go ye. Who's ye? Ye be ye. All y'all. Pardon me? It is our responsibility as Christians. Absolutely. Lawlessness means more than just the absence of law. It conveys, and maybe we don't like what I'm about to say, but it's the truth. It conveys an act of rebellion against the law. And so those who keep on sinning are actively rebelling against God. I told you this wasn't going to be a very popular topic tonight, but listen, I'm telling you guys this. I'm putting this all out there with the passion that I have in my, to the point of sweating, because it's, we got to get it in us so that we can take it out of here. I want this week, I want tomorrow, I want you to be talking to somebody, and I want in the back of your mind a flag go, I should be telling this person about Jesus. I need to tell them about Jesus. I hope it happens to every one of you. I really do. Those who keep on sinning are actively rebelling against God. Listen, every one of us are going to stand before God and give an account for our life. Do you know that? When I stand before God, more than anything else in my life, I want to hear Him say, well done. Enter in. The most tragic thing that can happen in that day, in that moment, is to hear Him say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. That's sad. Pastor, it sounds like you're being awfully stern, awfully rigid about this. I'm just telling you what God's Word says, because one day I'm going to have to give an account for what I've said to you. I cannot and will not water down God's Word. Sin is missing the mark. Who sins? Romans 3:23. We've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. Isaiah in the Old Testament, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've all turned to our own way. 1 John 3:4, whoever commits sin commits lawlessness, because sin is lawlessness. It expresses, lawlessness expresses the opposition to the law of God. Church, we have a solemn responsibility with sin. We need to confess it. The Bible says if you confess your sin, He is faithful to cleanse you from all sin. Is that what He said? That's what He said. I'll cleanse you. I'll cleanse you. If you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, you shall be saved. I'm telling you this so you can tell somebody else. The Lord knows the way of the righteous. Yes, He does. And He's called every one of us as children of God to be righteous. To walk in righteousness. Righteousness means right standing. Amen? Bow your heads with me tonight. I can't preach a message about sin and not give an opportunity that there might be someone here tonight struggling with this whole idea of sin. And I don't want anybody walking out of here tonight with wondering whether they'll make heaven their home or not. And so heads are bowed and eyes are closed and people are praying. And I just want to ask you real quick, if you're here tonight and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, if you have not given your life totally and completely to Jesus, but you'd like to, I want to ask you to raise your hand because I want to pray with you. Anybody at all in this place tonight, say, man, that's me. Maybe you're here tonight and somewhere down the road you did give your life to Jesus, but man, stuff happened, life happened, things happened. You found yourself down some sheep trail somewhere. And you realize you're a long ways away from the shepherd. And tonight, off in the distance, you can hear the voice of the shepherd calling out. Because the Bible said that he'll leave the 99 and come looking for the one. And tonight, he's looking for you. And if you're that one, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand because I want to pray with you tonight. I want to pray with you. I want to see God begin to do a great and a mighty work in your life. Father, I thank you for this night. I thank you for each one that is here tonight, God. And I pray, God, that this message, that these words, these scripture and what I've said tonight, I pray, God, that it would impact our life, God, that it would resonate inside of each one of us, God, it would bring clarity, that it would help us to be better disciples outside of these four walls, God, that you have given us tonight some ammunition to take out of this place and to begin to share. Listen, everybody needs the blood of Jesus. Everybody needs to repent. Everybody needs to confess. Everybody needs to make up my mind. All I've been doing, I've been missing the mark. And Lord, I need you to zero me in. Help me to get dialed in, oh God, that I won't miss the mark anymore. That I'll walk in accordance to your Holy Spirit. That I'll walk very closely by your side, oh God. Lead me. Lead me, precious Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. God, I give you all the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen. God bless you. God go with you. I thank you for being here tonight. We need to pray for Janice Swan right quick if we can. Bob had her in the emergency room again today. And so I promised them that we would pray for them tonight. So if you just join with me. Father, I just thank you for Bob and for Janice. And I just pray, God, that you would raise them up. I pray, God, that you would completely heal Janice's heart. Lord God, I pray that AFib would just be gone. Lord, that you'd bring a correct rhythm into her heart, Lord. And I thank you for it. Give Bob and Janice strength, Lord, as they walk through this valley. Lord, I lift Ken Skeen to you. And I pray, God, that you'd be with him as he goes for checkups, Lord, and give him strength, Lord, and all those things, God. Lord, we just lift them to you and pray that you would touch them and heal them and set them free in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen and amen.